This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 58 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I record these podcasts the day before they're published. I get them published on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday morning of each week, hopefully before your commutes, but they're recorded the previous day. There's lead time involved in creating these podcasts. That shouldn't be that much of a surprise. But now that we're in the middle of the football season and players are nursing more and more injuries, things are a lot more dynamic. So what you hear on this show may actually change a bit as we get closer to Sunday. If something does change, like a player's status, you can always hit me up at LateRoundQB on Twitter to see what I think the impact might be. Or go to NumberFire's Facebook page and like it, because I do Facebook Lives along with my colleague Jim Sonnis 5 days a week. You can ask all the questions you want on those Facebook Lives. Sunday morning at noon, I'll be there. Every other day of the week, either Jim or I will be there at 3 p.m. Eastern. You can ask any question that you want, even about the t-shirt or hoodie that I'm wearing on that day. I do my best to be clear about the situations that are unclear in the league each week on these podcasts. Like the Green Bay backfield situation this week. I'll be talking about that today, and I'll do my best to think about the many different scenarios that could go down this week within that backfield. But things will change. Things will change a lot throughout the week, and I just needed to say that. I needed to let you guys know that there is some lead time with this podcast and that things will change, but there are avenues to contact me or to talk to me about football or to ask questions about your fantasy football lineup. It's not just this podcast, and I think that's just a necessary thing that I have to say before moving on. But that's all boring too. No one wants to hear any more of this. I get it. I'm very sorry. I apologize. Let's start talking football. Oh, but before doing that, I wanted to tell you about Fubo TV. It's the live sports app that lets football fans finally cut the cord for good. No more expensive cable or satellite packages needed to watch your teams. In fact, they go beyond football to show live pro and college football, baseball and basketball games, and even the top shows and movies live and on demand on over 65 live channels. Fubo TV is offering Late Round Podcast listeners a 7-day free trial. Just go to fubo.tv/FanDuel. That's FUBO.TV. And click the button to redeem your free trial. After that, it's just $19.99 per month for the first 2 months. Watch all you want, record games, and stream them on all of your devices. Just go to fubo.tv, that's FUBO.TV, to redeem your free 7-day trial. Fubo TV, the most live sports for the least money. All right, now let's talk about this week's start sits. At quarterback, one of the best quarterback plays I think that you can make this week is Jameis Winston, who's going up against New England. On the season, the Patriots have allowed almost 1,300 yards through the air, 11 passing touchdowns, and an 8.6 net yards per pass attempt rate. Those are all the absolute worst in the NFL. Every single quarterback that's faced New England, so we're talking about Alex Smith, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson, and Cam Newton, have thrown for at least 300 yards and a pair of scores against the Patriots. They've allowed more fantasy points to quarterbacks than any other team in the league. Winston's at home in a game that has the highest over-under of the week on Thursday night. He is a great, great play this week. If one of your quarterbacks is on a bye or you're struggling to find one off the waiver wire, I think a deep one is one that I talked about on the 15 Transaction Show this week, and that's Jacoby Brissett. As I said earlier in the week, Brissett's averaging about 5 deep balls per game this season. He's throwing a deep pass on about 16% of his passes, which is average across the league. But on those throws, he's got a near 108 quarterback rating, which is a top 10 number at the position. And San Francisco's allowed the 8th most deep ball passes this year, so there's a chance for a big play or two in this contest. Especially when you consider Jacoby Brissett's going to be throwing the ball to one of the best deep ball specialists in the league in T.Y. Hilton. And I think that there's kind of a floor here too. The 49ers have a bottom half pass defense, and every quarterback that they've faced has posted at least 13 fantasy points against them. And we know that Jacoby Brissett has some sort of ceiling. In the one plus matchup that he's seen all season, week 3 against the Browns, he was able to throw for 259 yards and a touchdown, and he rushed for an extra 2. His rushing ability brings upside. So if you're really in a pinch, I don't mind Jacoby Brissett as a deeper quarterback play this week. A couple other guys I don't mind. I love Dak Prescott against Green Bay in Dallas in another game that should see a lot of points. And if you want to dig even deeper than Jacoby Brissett, Josh McCown is playing against Cleveland, a team that has not been able to stop any quarterback this season. On the flip side of things, I'm not that in love with Phillip Rivers this week. I usually hesitate a good bit when I get a quarterback that's a West Coast quarterback or in that time zone moving to the East Coast. That's what you're going to get in this matchup as the Chargers are coming east to play the Giants. Strictly from a personnel standpoint, the Giants have a strong defense. They had one of the highest rated defenses entering the season. Now, our schedule adjusted numbers at NumberFire have pegged them as just an average one to start the season. That's not that big of a surprise. They're underperforming this year. But even still, they've held two of the four quarterbacks that they faced this year to under 14 fantasy points, and they've played good quarterbacks. They've faced Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, and Jameis Winston. I can understand if you have to play Phillip Rivers this week because quarterback is somewhat of a dumpster fire, but I think he's more of a low-end QB2 rather than the high-end QB2 he usually is week in and week out. The theme of the week with quarterbacks is that you're going to probably feel a little uncomfortable with whatever signal caller you're starting, or at least the majority of teams will. So you might be looking at your waiver wire and saying, hey, maybe I'll play Blake Bortles. Because he's in Pittsburgh, he could see a negative game script, and we know with Blake Bortles, garbage time is amazing. But don't go chasing garbage time, you guys. Pittsburgh currently has a top 10 pass defense according to our numbers, and they've allowed a 4 net yards per attempt rate. That's the best in the entire NFL to start the season. And remember with garbage time, you guys, it takes a garbage performance in the first place to create that garbage time. If the Jags are in garbage time, it's probably because Blake Bortles isn't playing that well. He's just not worth a start on the road this week. I also don't like Andy Dalton against Buffalo. That secondary is playing a lot better than I thought they were going to play entering the season. I wouldn't play Andy Dalton in a game that has a low over-under. And then in that same game, I don't really love Tyrod Taylor either. Cincinnati's defense, not that bad. Top 10 secondary right now. Not a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor that I want to trot into my lineup this week. I mentioned at the top that I wanted to talk about the Green Bay Packers running back situation. So let's talk about it now. I think Aaron Jones is a great play this week as long as Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery don't play. As of right now, as of this recording, I would say the chances of them both not playing are greater than the chances of them both playing. That makes Aaron Jones an attractive option this week. In week 4, Jones ran 13 times, he had 49 yards and a touchdown, he gained positive yardage on all 13 of his carries. He had a success rate, or the percentage of positive expected points runs, that was better than 46% in week 4. That's a great number. If he gets the majority of the work in the Green Bay backfield this week, he's going to be fantasy relevant. Dallas's rush defense has allowed a top 20 PPR running back performance to every team that they faced this year, and that includes the Giants and the Cardinals. It's a game with a high over-under, and you're associating Aaron Jones with arguably the best quarterback in football. I would say this, if Ty Montgomery doesn't go and Jamal Williams does, I still think that Aaron Jones is a decent play because I'm not convinced that they just run Jamal Williams to the ground. Aaron Jones looked better than Jamal Williams did in week 4. So I think Aaron Jones is still worthy of a start even if Jamal Williams is playing because I doubt that they give Jamal Williams the entire workload in that backfield. So he's a flex in that instance, but if neither of them are playing, I think he's a fringe RB1, to be honest. Another sort of low-key play this week is Jaquizz Rodgers. I think a lot of fantasy owners might be scared off because Doug Martin is finally back from his suspension. But Doug Martin only started practicing with the Buccaneers on Monday and they're playing on Thursday night. I would be shocked if Doug Martin sees a ton of carries in that game. He's seen 19, 5, and 16 carries in 3 games and he's had a rushing attempt market share of 60.61% in those games. That's a great number. So again, you're associating a running back in a game with a high over-under. There's scoring opportunity for that running back. Now, I will say this. If the Patriots do Patriot-like things and destroy Tampa Bay, Rodgers could see a lot of his passing down work go to Charles Sims, or see a lot of work in general go to Charles Sims. Like I said, Rodgers only had 5 attempts in week 3 when the Bucs were blown out by the Vikings. And that's the only game this season where Charles Sims played more snaps than Jaquizz Rodgers did. So I'd be a little fearful of that. But I do think that overall, Jaquizz Rodgers is a smart play this week. If you want to dig even deeper, Wayne Gallman is kind of interesting as well. Like I said on the 15 Transactions show, he played the most snaps of any Giants running back in week 4, he saw the most carries, and he was by far the most productive running back. Paul Perkins, you guys, is so not good. He currently has a success rate of 12.5%, which is the worst rate seen by a running back with 30 or more carries over the last 18 years. If Paul Perkins were to keep this up, he'd arguably have the worst running back season that we've seen since the turn of the century. That's how bad Paul Perkins has been. So overtaking this backfield for Wayne Gallman should hypothetically not be tough. He's playing at home and he's a favorite as well. And the Chargers have not been very good against the run this year. They've allowed a top 15 running back performance in three of their four games, and they gave up two of those last week alone. And they've now given up the seventh most points to the position this year. I really don't mind Wayne Gallman if you're in a pinch. I like James White a lot this week in PPR formats against Tampa Bay. Again, I'm targeting this game because there should be a lot of scoring. And Bilal Powell saw a good workload last week. Cleveland's rush defense has been a little underrated this year, but I do think that Bilal Powell is in a decent enough spot to warrant a start. It feels like I talk about a Chicago Bears running back on every single one of these shows each week. And this week's no different. I think that Tariq Cohen is a sit candidate. You might not have a choice because running back kind of sucks right now, but if you can, I think Tariq Cohen can find your bench. There's a few reasons for that. In week four, he ended up playing just 27% of the team snaps, while Benny Cunningham, another pass-catching back, was on the field for 24% of the team snaps. If you recall, Cunningham was injured in week one and he didn't play in week two. So the fear is that as he gets healthier, he might dig into Tariq Cohen's role a bit. I'm not saying that's a certainty, I'm saying that's a thing to watch out for. And they're playing the Vikings. The Vikings have a great defense. Two running backs against them in four games this year have finished as top 20 running backs in terms of weekly running back scoring in PPR leagues, Amir Abdullah and Le'Veon Bell. But it took 20 plus carries for those guys to get there. There's no chance that Tariq Cohen is going to see that type of volume. And in addition to this, Minnesota's allowed just 18 running back receptions in four games. Only eight teams have allowed fewer running back receptions. And that's despite playing the Steelers, I already mentioned Le'Veon Bell, the Lions, I mentioned Amir Abdullah, but they also have Theo Riddick, and the Saints, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. The Saints love to utilize their running backs out of the backfield. And the other piece of this is that we don't exactly know how Tariq Cohen is going to work with Mitchell Trubisky under center. What's kept Cohen going from a fantasy perspective this season is his receiving. He has a 20.86% target market share in the Bears offense this year. That's the fourth highest market share of any running back in the league. What happens if not only Benny Cunningham starts to take some of those snaps, but Mitchell Trubisky isn't targeting him that much out of the backfield? I'm not saying that's going to happen. The opposite can happen too. Trubisky could say, I want to target Tariq Cohen 15 times in this game against the Vikings. I'm just saying there are reasons to believe that it's a risky play. And this game is all about probability. I would not feel confident playing Isaiah Crowell this week. And I know what you're thinking, Crowell owners. The Browns could finally see a neutral game script, which will benefit Isaiah Crowell over Duke Johnson. In theory, that's not wrong. That's the right way to think about this situation. But Crowell's also been pretty bad this year. He has the sixth worst success rate among 40 running backs with 30 or more carries this season. And even though these bad game scripts have favored Duke Johnson, last week, Isaiah Crowell only played 34% of the team snaps. That's the lowest snap rate that he's seen since week 8 of 2015. You don't think the Browns have been in negative game scripts since week 8 of 2015? Of course they have. They've been in a lot of them. Isaiah Crowell's just not playing that well. Part of this is a coaching decision. And with Duke Johnson playing as well as he is, why would they not be throwing Duke Johnson onto the field? I don't mind the matchup, I don't mind the situation at all, but I mind the player right now. And I mind the way that the coaches might be thinking about that player. That's why Isaiah Crowell is a sit candidate. I'm also not in love with Jonathan Stewart at Detroit. You're really hoping for touchdowns with Jay Stu. And then Terrence West in Oakland. The backfield in Baltimore is kind of a mess. You know, if the Dolphins' offense had looked competent over the last 2 weeks, we would be all over them this week against Tennessee. But the teams combined to score 23 points in three games and only 6 points over the last 2 weeks, both in plus matchups. But the one constant in this offense has been DeVante Parker. He's seen 9, 10, and 8 targets in their three games, and he's scored at least 12 PPR points in each of those contests. And this matchup is a freaking dream for a perimeter wide receiver this week. Get this, guys. In each week this season, the Titans have allowed at least one top 12 PPR performance to a wide receiver. And they've also allowed 7 wide receivers to rank in the top 20 in weekly PPR scoring. No other team in football has allowed more than 4. The Titans have allowed 7.
Quang, quang, quang.
7 in 4 games. That's almost 2 wide receivers ranking in the top 20 per game. So given this constant volume that Parker is seeing, and given his reliability, being the only reliable asset in this offense for the most part, I think he's worth a start in week 5. I also love DeSean Jackson this week against New England. Again, we're going to target this game because there should be a lot of scoring in this game. You know, I talked about DeSean Jackson early this week as a guy that you can buy in fantasy football, and this is one of the reasons. He's playing New England this week. In three games, he's seen 9 deep ball targets, tying him for the 11th most in the NFL. And he's only played 3 games. The other players have played 4. He just hasn't hit on those deep balls consistently. That will hopefully come. And in what should be a shootout on Thursday night, Jackson will match up against a team, New England, that's seen the 3rd most deep ball passes against them this season, allowing, on average, over 16 yards on those throws. That includes incomplete passes. That's the 4th worst rate, or best if you're looking at it from DeSean Jackson's perspective, throughout the league. I would not be shocked at all if we see a big play from DeSean Jackson here in Week 5. Another player that I talked about earlier this week who is an add off the waiver wire but is also in a great spot in Week 5 is Devin Funchess. According to NFL.com's Alex Gelhar, Darius Slay, the Lions corner, has only allowed 11 catches on 22 targets for 98 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions this season, and a 24.4 passer rating. Darius Slay is a monster, and he could blanket wide out Kelvin Benjamin this week. So what does that mean? It's going to open things up for Devin Funchess. And that wouldn't be that much of a shock given what's gone on the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks without tight end Greg Olsen. In the 2 games without Olsen this year, Funchess is averaging a target market share north of 30% to go along with 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. I fully expect Devin Funchess to have a strong game this week. I mentioned this earlier with Jacoby Brissett, but I do like T.Y. Hilton as well this week against San Francisco. And then Randall Cobb against Dallas. That's especially true if Devontae Adams can't go. Marquise Lee has been a pleasant surprise this year, but I do think that you should sit him against Pittsburgh this week. I already noted this with Blake Bortles earlier, but Pittsburgh's secondary has been really strong this season. And even though they faced easy competition, that's still not entirely different this week with Blake Bortles coming into town. And Marquise Lee could be lined up a lot with Artie Burns. Artie Burns has had a really good season at cornerback for the Steelers to start the year. Per Pro Football Focus, he's allowed 61 yards on 21 targets this season. Even though Marquise Lee is seeing nearly 22% of Jacksonville's targets, the matchup just is not there for him this week. Things aren't going very well for Sammy Watkins. I think Watkins owners have to be at least a little worried that the Rams have scored more points than any other team in the NFL this year, and Watkins has put together only one truly useful performance in fantasy football. He's ranked as wide receiver 34, wide receiver 76, wide receiver 5, that was the good performance, and wide receiver 94 in the 4 games that they've played this year. He has a 13.45% target market share this season, you guys. That's worse than Albert Wilson and Brandon LaFell. And I can't sit back and say, hey, Jared Goff, hey, Sean McVay, throw the ball more to Sammy Watkins. How can I say that when the Rams are doing what they're doing offensively? And now Sammy Watkins is going to go up against Seattle, a defense and a secondary that's allowed the 8th fewest fantasy points to opposing wideouts this season. I don't know how you can have any confidence starting Sammy Watkins this week. In shallower leagues too, I think Amari Cooper is a sit once again with EJ Manuel under center for the Raiders, and he's playing against a secondary that's pretty good in Baltimore. And if people are going to chase Will Fuller's points from last week, I wouldn't do that. I don't love his matchup this week. Kansas City's secondary has been beatable, but I do think that Marcus Peters could see him at times throughout this game. I don't love Will Fuller. At tight end, I do like Austin Seferian Jenkins this week. In 2 games, the 2 games since his suspension, he's had 10 targets, 9 catches, and 77 yards. Not bad. He has a target market share that's better than 18%. That's really not that bad for a Jets tight end. The Jets have not utilized a tight end since Pogs were cool. And he's facing the Browns this week. I love this matchup for ASJ against the Browns. In week 1, Jesse James was the number 1 tight end against the Browns. Last week, Tyler Kroft was the number 1 tight end against the Browns. And in week 2, Benjamin Watson was the tight end 4 against the Browns. There's not a lot of options in this Jets offense, and given ASJ's market share over the last 2 weeks, I think that he's a really solid tight end option. If you want to dig deeper than even Austin Seferian Jenkins, Antonio Gates is in the matchup this week against the Giants. A lot of people are going to be on Hunter Henry, but Antonio Gates actually has the peripheral numbers to be the tight end that will take advantage of the Giants this week. Now, his numbers don't look great this year, don't get me wrong. He ranks 18th in the league in tight end targets. He's played only 60% of the Chargers' snaps. That's 29th in the league in snap rate. Nothing special. But those numbers are both better than what we've seen from Hunter Henry. He's playing 7% more snaps than Hunter Henry has. And according to Pro Football Focus, Antonio Gates has run 97 routes this year, whereas Hunter Henry has run 62. That's a significant difference. And he's playing the Giants, The Giants have now allowed 5 tight end touchdowns in 4 games. The Giants allowed 2 last week to 2 different tight ends, and they've allowed a tight end touchdown every single week this season. My money is actually on Antonio Gates being that player. It could be Hunter Henry, but I think Antonio Gates is more of the logical play. I also like Charles Clay just because of the volume that he's seeing. The matchup isn't fantastic, but Charles Clay is basically an every week starter now. And I don't mind Jesse James as a streamer either. Jacksonville has 2 very, 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 very good corners, and that funnels targets to the middle of the field, which is where Jesse James will be. And he's running a decent amount of routes. On the other side of things, I think you should sit Jason Witten this week. That might come as a surprise because he's a tight end in a game where there's going to be a lot of points scored, and he's a home tight end. But the Packers have been pretty decent against the position. No tight end against the Packers has ranked higher than 21st in weekly PPR scoring. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the Packers' corners are not very good. So quarterbacks can focus a lot of their attention on their wide receivers. And wide receivers have been targeted at a very, very high rate against the Packers this year. That's a huge reason why, then, tight ends haven't performed. But Jason Witten has also taken advantage of good tight end matchups, which this is not. The thing is that Jason Witten, he's had 2 good weeks in fantasy football this season and 2 bad weeks. In those 2 good weeks, they've been against teams that generally cannot stop the tight end very well. He played the Giants, a team I just talked about as being horrible against tight ends, and he played the Broncos. The Broncos are another team that have great cornerback play, so quarterbacks look to the middle of the field at their tight end to get away from those cornerbacks. Otherwise, Jason Witten's been horrible. He only has 6 targets over the last 2 games. It makes him a very risky play, despite this being a high-scoring game in Dallas. I'm going to mention this guy every week, but I don't think you can play Eric Ebron again. And then in shallower leagues, I think you can make a case to bench Jimmy Graham, but in most leagues, you're probably going to have to start him. Because tight end, again, is a dumpster fire. On defense, I talked about them earlier this week, but I don't mind the New York Jets on the road in Cleveland. Targeting a road defense is not a smart thing to do in fantasy football for the most part. But you're facing Cleveland, and Cleveland has been very, very generous to opposing defenses. Defenses have ranked 6th, 2nd, 14th, and 12th in weekly scoring against the Browns this year, and Cleveland's thrown at least 1 interception while being sacked at least once in every contest. That gives the Jets some sort of floor. So even if the Jets have a bad defense, this is 1,000,000% just a matchup play in a game that has a very low over-under. I also like Baltimore in Oakland facing EJ Manuel, and the Eagles should be able to get to Carson Palmer a lot. That offensive line for Arizona has looked dreadful. On the sit side, I'm going to say to sit the Houston Texans. Now, I don't fully mind the Texans this week because I do think they do have a lot of sack potential. But the Chiefs have turned the ball over once all season long, and they have the 2nd best schedule adjusted offense according to Number Fire's metrics. The Chiefs are not a plus matchup by any means, so I would probably sit the Texans for other streaming options this week. I also wouldn't be playing the Rams against Seattle. Seattle's offense is clicking a little bit more, especially through the air. Russell Wilson looks like a different quarterback than he did over the first 2 weeks of the season. And then you cannot play the Packers in Dallas. That's it for the start sits though, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. If you've yet to subscribe to the show, please do so by going to iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. And like I said on Tuesday, we're going to start giving out a free Number Fire premium subscription each month. So we'll be doing that for October. All you have to do is go to iTunes, leave a rating and review of this show, and we'll draw a name at random at the end of the month for a free Number Fire premium subscription for an entire year. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. And if you have any questions for this week's mailbag show or a future mailbag show that drops each Friday, you can send them to Twitter or email me at jj@numberfire.com. But please, guys, I can't stress it enough. Please don't send me start sit questions. You can absolutely do that on Twitter. You can do it on the Facebook Lives, but please not the email. Really appreciate that. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you all tomorrow.